So I noticed that HBO, they just released the Space Jam movie, the new LeBron Space Jam movie. What do you think about it?
I think it's going to be awful.
We haven't watched it yet, but I'm kind of over him sort of comparing himself to Jordan. Or not comparing himself to Jordan.
Oh, LeBron.
He's almost LeBron. He is trying to follow in his footsteps almost too much. But he's essentially doing what MJ did, but he also wants to be better than MJ or greater than MJ. You know, the chosen one. Early, just me, you know, just checking the internet or whatever.
How are the reviews on that? Like, what's the Rotten Tomatoes?
The Rotten Tomato was sitting somewhere right above 30%. Oh. I think the original is at like 40%, which is a bit better.
Okay, is it because we were kids back then, so we thought it was great? I think it's great now, actually, even as an adult. The original.
So, when I was, you know, when I was a kid, I enjoyed it. And when I'm an adult, I enjoyed it. From what I've heard, and we'll watch it, maybe we'll give you guys an update next week, but it's not doing so hot in the adult world.
The new one, because we loved the adults now are who truly loved the original, and the original's so good.
But I bet you when the original came out, people hated it, or they're like, this acting's terrible. And you know, they probably,
you know what we should do, look up
reviews from
yes like an originally written 90s review.
That'll be fun.
Thank you for listening to From the Fryer. I'm Ellie.
Hey everyone, it's Leon. Thank you guys for joining us. This show's getting really good, and
messy.
It's getting real messy, and we can't wait to just, you know, let you guys know our opinions, thoughts, feelings, opinions.
It's mostly opinion-based. So, this week, let's see. Oh, question.
Talk to me.
You know what a hair crimper is, right?
It's like those things you can use to, like, straighten your hair or something, or...
But to crimp it. Opposite of straightening, like the little indents in your hair.
Like curling?
But not a nice curl. Do you think, like, basically where curl. I'm going with this is, do you think Libby and all of her sisters share the same 90s crimper?
Oh.
The hair looks like shit, is what I'm getting at.
I don't
know. I'm not anti-crimping. I'm anti how shitty their crimps look.
So do they have a similar looking hairstyle?
Yeah. Like, okay, when they go to the vineyard for the party. Well,
hold on. Aren't they? They are traveling on an RV, so I wouldn't be surprised if they're all doing the same routine.
Why the fuck are they still in an RV?
Oh my god.
You can't tell me the cousins and the aunt and stuff, like, you all couldn't just split up in cars. We're gonna take this whole RV now to...
Isn't the usual plan is you use the RV to get you to the vacation
to
spot.
Your hub.
The hubs.
And then you have a car. You either tow the car, you know, people, or you're with people.
People have they usually pull another car behind the RV, exactly. Or they have a little ATV or something. They have some other smaller form of transportation to go
to.
Oh
my god, if I had to be stuck in that RV, but there was an option of, like, the car being towed in the back, just put me in the car in the back. Like, I don't even want to be in that RV. Okay, so this week it is season 6, episode 12, Bubble Baths and Family Wrath. When I heard this read this title, excuse me, I didn't know what to expect and what this bubble bath was going to be, and boy, was I surprised, and I learned a lot more than I wanted to.
I think I wanted to throw up in my mouth.
It was so much more detailed than anyone needed. No one's wondering these details about their phone sex life. Gross. We'll talk about it, but it was a lot. Should we even just start with them?
It'll be good to get them out the way.
Oh my god. Okay. I have lots of thoughts on Psychic Tracy.
Oh, I have some opinions.
Yeah. Okay. So, Michael and his wife, you can actually visibly see her weight loss now. Like, you always kind of could, but, like, it was almost, like, very noticeable this episode.
She's looking a lot better.
Attitude is still shit. She's an awful person, but she does look a lot better.
She mentioned she's lost 70 pounds,
which is nuts. Because I think last episode, what did she say? Like 40 pounds? Or maybe it was the episode prior.
Ooh, I'm not sure.
But it's coming off. She says, deep in my heart, I want to mend things with Michael, but I can't mend things by myself. And why can't you mend things by yourself? You could literally talk to your husband about your problems and it would probably be better than the current situation. Talk without screaming.
I don't think she can do that. It's like her mode. And we've talked about it before. It's like her way or the highway, right?
Yeah.
And if Michael just doesn't succumb to her will when they're talking about things, it's not the right way in her mind to fix this.
If he doesn't fully do exactly what she says when she says this, then he's talking back and he's a shit husband.
Her emotions are kind of all over the place because she asks Michael, for example, you haven't called me beautiful or anything since then. And then Michael at this point is talking out of his ass. He just starts complimenting her.
No, that was later.
Well, it was later, but that's what I'm getting at is like her mindset of, yeah. I want you to do this. Then he does it. And then she doesn't care.
Exactly.
It's almost like, I don't want you to tell me because I told you to tell me, but you want him to do anything you tell him to do. So it's too confusing.
Agreed. So, but going a little bit back, she spoke with her psychic Tracy, and she suggested they do a reading together. She says, I think Tracy can undercover why we are having these problems. Again, it goes back to, you could literally just let him talk and then you can talk and it would be fine. But we have to have the psychic, a three-way kind of video call.
Well, I have a question. What are your thoughts on psychics in general?
In general, I think it's fine. So for me personally, I think, I don't want to say it's not real. I think I totally believe in like the energies, and some people are more sensitive than others to those energies.
Maybe like you'll give positive energy, you'll receive positive
energy. Kind of, but in the sense of just the energies around people and what they bring and how they hold that energy and what energy do they give to the world and those around them. And some people can...
Or almost like when you see someone, you can feel negative energy.
Yes.
Like it's like a feeling.
Yes,
it's like
completely.
I don't feel safe with that person.
Yeah, or just, I don't like that person. I don't know, maybe that's too blunt. But So I think there's people that are tapped into the energies and maybe can have internal feelings about maybe what someone's going through, but to say that you can know someone's future, I think is very hard. For someone reading cards, I don't think that's fully fake or, you know, something like that. I mean, there's a reason a certain card is being pulled, energies, whatever you want to say. But I also wouldn't put my complete faith in that either.
Sure.
It's not something I'm gonna make life decisions on. It's more
Is it almost on the, I don't want to put it down or anything, but is it on a similar line? No, it's definitely not, but I just think it's funny. Like a fortune cookie, how you're like, wow, it's a nice message, but I can interpret this message in so many different ways. Okay, that's what it is.
Yes. Not necessarily in the gimmicky way, I guess, that fortune cookies are. Though I love reading fortune cookies as well. So I don't know. I always, I like it. But it is in the similar vein of what comes up is how you or who you're with and is interpreting it. Everyone, I feel like, is going to interpret things that they get from these cards and from readings completely different. So I it's not that I'm necessarily saying it's fake or real, but I think there is something real to it. But I'm not putting my whole life into this and I'm not making life decisions based on it. It's almost, let me view this from a different angle. You tell me what you're feeling. Okay, that's cool, but I'm not... I mean, I know people take it very seriously, and that's fine, but I think that's up to each individual person.
So what'd you think about Tracy?
I think Tracy's was shit. That is the worst reading I've ever seen of anyone. Like, I've seen friends just hanging out doing tarot cards. Like, we went to a party where someone was doing readings and cards, and it was more legit than this woman.
I saw... One, it seems like she's Angela's friend.
Yeah.
So there's almost... She has background knowledge of their relationship.
And who do you think's paying her?
Yeah, that could be, you know, two. And then I don't like that what she was receiving from the cards was all negative against Michael.
And it was always positive to Michael's wife. Like, you need to treat Michael's wife better. You need to treat your wife better. You need to... It's everything that Michael has to do for his wife. It's never... A communication card of, oh, maybe his wife is being, you need to open communication. It's always, what can Michael do for her?
Yeah, I was hoping to see something like, yeah, this card is telling me that your wife's really aggressive and she needs to sort of communicate a little bit
better. You need to soften and or something.
90% of the things she said are things I could have said if they just asked me. Like, you guys have issues communicating. I'm like,
and no she's fucking going into shit. It with all the background knowledge that Michael's wife has given her.
I think it'd be way more fun if they had a fortune teller that did not know them.
Yeah, that didn't know anything. Like, let's pull the cards, let the energies or spirits, whatever you want to call it, guide your hand and let's do it. It just seems so not legit. So we're reading, I didn't really get it. So we're pulling cards based on Michael, but why don't we ever go to his wife? Why aren't we pulling cards? The only card that we saw pulled for her was... Do what you believe, or whatever this crap was. It was, is Michael scamming me?
It was a fortune.
What do you believe? Okay, so.
Fortune reading attack on Michael.
Yeah, and why the fuck is Psychic Tracy yelling at Michael?
That was weird. And unprofessional.
Unprofessional. Like,
you're providing a service. You're not just going to yell at your customers.
No. What skin do you have in this? Like, why do you give a shit at all? Why are you fighting against Michael?
I would hope my fortune teller would be very even keeled.
Yes.
Not
She's literally just
sides.
Yelling at Michael.
I think it was pretty corny. That did not help them one bit. It was almost like filler. It didn't seem to do anything.
No, think about how
I think
much
Michael apologized, but that was when it was kind of
that was
like,
later on in the episode. Yeah. But I love that at one point Michael was just laughing. And he's like, I'm relaxed. I'm chilling.
I did see him chuckle. It's almost like he couldn't take it seriously anymore. He tried.
And then his wife is all saying, he doesn't believe in your gift. And she was like, oh, you don't believe in my gift. I'm like, oh God, just, you don't have to shove it down people's throats. Just let, if anything, let your work speak for itself.
Yeah, let's see what ends up being correct or not correct.
So let's get into the cards themselves. First card, she pulls up, I don't even remember what it was, but she says, this is your wife and he's supposed to be there for you. He focuses on a lot of material things. And then
it's a picture of a woman and somehow she got that message.
Yeah. And his wife butts in and says, yeah, that's all he cares about, material things. I never got that from Michael. Like, what kind of material things?
Yeah, I'm not sure. He seems to, from what we can see, he seems pretty low-key.
Low-key. If anything, when she gets there, she's all, I'm not staying here. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. The second card pulled says Michael's wife needs to defend her position against
God,
Michael.
What was that card?
These cards
are funny to me because it's an image and then this person can just interpret it in whatever way.
Exactly. And that's what bothers me.
Conjuring?
I feel like if she pulled the cards, if Psychic Tracy pulled the cards and said, this is the something of cups or like whatever it is and told me what that represents and then maybe and how it could possibly relate, that'd be one thing. But she's not telling me the name of the card. She's not telling me what the card represents. And she's just going on and finding a way for this card to mean something negative to Michael. I just don't, there's no validity in this, in my opinion. Ooh, here was where Michael's wife freaked out. Michael said he wants more space to express himself. And his wife took this as, you want more space? You know, freaking out on him. And then Tracy, Psychic Tracy comes in. Says,
she was backing her up.
Yeah, she said, you're miles apart. You can't get more space than that.
I was like, why are you the...
To me, it was clear what Michael said. Space to express myself.
No, I know. But again, why are you as our sort of...
You're just supposed to be the psychic.
You're like Switzerland. Why are you picking sides? You're not supposed to be picking sides.
But here we are.
I totally get Michael. I think he just... Even if he worded it wrong as space, honestly, it came back to he wants his opinion to matter.
Yeah,
in the relationship.
Doesn't everyone...
Yeah.
Like, yeah, why definitely. Why is that so controversial to Tracy and Michael's wife? The next card says, oh wait, the last card is just, it is what you believe. When she asks the cards, is Michael
scamming
me?
Yeah, scamming me. It is what you believe. We were both like, what the fuck does that mean?
Exactly. Like, that could mean anything.
Is this card like anything I want card? Because I could just believe whatever
that's
the hell
exactly
I want.
What as I took it, it's like a wild card, do what you want with it. I don't know, I just really don't like that Psychic Tracy did not tell us anything about the cards or what they're supposed to mean and just went to straight to how is this gonna look good for Michael's wife. Later on in the episode, Michael is doing laundry and calls his wife. She immediately starts in like usual. She cannot have a normal conversation. Michael actually is kind of backpedaling. He is trying to explain himself as far as the wanting space comment he made. And he did apologize to her. He says something like, these surgeries were not an option. This is about my health. I had no choice.
Oh,
as she continues
good.
To smoke. That's a bullshit answer. She's saying
she's just saying things to make herself look good. And also mentally, she's lying to herself.
Yeah.
Some of, you know, the weight loss, you know, is partly for my health, but not enough for you to care for your own health to stop smoking.
Yeah, because truly that's the most detrimental right now.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, your weight was an issue, but you're just continuing to do something multiple times a day that is the same, if not worse, for your health. And you don't care.
Folks like Angela, they want to put themselves in a good light.
Yeah, she's the victim.
They only select the good, but they don't think about their bad. which hers
or is like smoking. What they're doing wrong. Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, even when she smokes, she blames it on Michael. I was like, why?
Yes, you're making me do this.
I was like, I only smoke when I'm stressed about Michael. I'm like, shut up. You've been smoking for 40 years. Don't exactly. fucking blame Michael. You've known Michael for like 3 or 4 years. Calm the fuck down.
Exactly. Michael's wife says she wants him to say that she looks pretty and says, you know, like when she goes to the grocery store, men are telling her, damn, you look good.
No.
No. So, but I thought this was for her health, right? Like we...
Right.
Yeah.
Again, it's just selectively picking, you know, what you want to make yourself feel good or look good.
She says, stop this African man stuff. Then stop this weird fucking American stuff.
See what I mean? It's they don't think about what they're saying or what they've done in the past to like hurt people and what they're projecting. She's making fun of his culture, yep. but then she's sort of...
And putting down how he is, but he has to take her exactly the way that she is and she will never change. And she made it clear and she said that. But he has to change everything about him.
It's a hard position. It's a weird position for them to be in.
Yeah.
These couples, because we see it in
you know, we see it in multiple couples.
More couples we'll talk about in a second.
Michael has to prove himself to be loyal and trustworthy or whatever as she just sits there and enjoys her best also, life.
This things like that are mentioned in these relationships multiple times, even though they're already married. Yeah. It's like you have these...
You have these
phases of building trust and love and then like marriage. But then they're almost like challenging this person. But it's like, you do realize we're married. Like we've been through a lot just to get married. Why are you questioning me now?
Yeah.
If you're questioning me now, why are we even married? And we've seen that in multiple couples. It's so strange to me.
So I guess the question is, these multiple couples that do this, did they all rush into marriage?
That or if they don't marry, there's almost like no phase two of the show. It's like, why are you on the show if you're not married?
Yeah, I don't think we've ever seen anyone that backed out of the 90 day. Like, has anyone been like, no, this isn't.
No, just Caesar who never met his chick. I mean, but he never met her. So yeah. And you know, he's not on the show.
No, David and Lana didn't do the 90 day thing. They were engaged.
You see what I mean? So it's partly like, yes, there's this human being and I feel for them and I want to marry them. We have a deadline, but I'm also on this show. Mm-hmm. I either don't meet the deadline, they have to go back to their country, or I don't get married. Yeah, there's no reason for them to follow me.
Like, the show is so popular now, 100% people get married just to continue on being on the show.
Right, it's almost like phase one is the pre.
Yeah.
And then phase two is the post and what our journey is after.
And then you continue your storyline.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, if you don't, well, there's...
These people aren't just regular people that are going to go back to their jobs and live their quiet life. They want to be on TV. They want to be famous, even if it's
I'm sure for a decent amount of them, it goes to their head. Some probably live just chill lives. And
I think very few of them have. Like, especially from the last few seasons. Beginning season, sure, they were like real normal people. I don't think so much anymore. Okay, so they kind of make up later in the episode. It is a bath time video call.
This is probably the hardest scene to watch.
It was so weird. So... See
how their emotions are almost like on the verge of breaking up and she's like, sexy bath time.
Yeah.
He
said everything that I need him to say. Like he is, you know,
and now we can,
worthy.
And now we can immediately have sexy bath time.
Yeah. I really didn't need to know this much about their phone sex life. Like it was so cringy. Michael took off his shirt and then was like air humping the camera.
Oh dear God.
She revealed her breasts to him and he was disappointed, but he at least was like, it's okay.
This lady really tried to say that their sex camming is all teasing and
it's not all ejaculation.
I'm calling bullshit on that.
Oh my God. Oh, I have a lot to say about the next time on, which we can save. Or should I just go for it?
Sure, go for it.
So Peter says that Michael should go to a fertility clinic to check his sperm. Angela knows that he will have to masturbate and provide a sample.
Mm-hmm.
She is so insecure that she is going to make him video call with her while he is masturbating. Does she think he doesn't jack off?
Okay, this dude probably jacks off multiple times a day.
And I can't believe that she doesn't think that
weird.
He doesn't.
It's so weird.
Okay, I'm done talking about them. We all witnessed the bath thing and the ejaculation talk. We don't need to We all witnessed it. It's fine. We're all scarred. Joey and Yara. Joey picks up groceries for Ukrainian Christmas and basically complains about everything he had to buy. A little background on Ukrainian Christmas. It is January 6th. They don't really exchange gifts, and gifts are given more kind of for New Year's. Claire and Chris are Joby's cousins, and it seems like they have a great relationship with them. Claire is even Mila's godmother, so that's great. Good support there. Everyone's talking shit about the food, though, and I thought that was so mean.
They were too open about making fun of her
food. Do you think that was fake?
Oh
my god, I don't know why on this pod I constantly talk about, do you think this is fake? But it felt almost like, would anyone truly be that blunt?
We don't know. We don't get to see their relationship. Maybe they're super open and just,
that's
like...
That's true. Like, maybe Yara and them, they just give each other shit all the time. So right, it was like a natural thing.
And, you know, the boyfriend or husband, I can tell what he was to the cousin. But it's he's like, oh my god, you eat this? Like, it's almost like he's joking. And then maybe it kind of just kept building on. But yeah, if we're going to people's homes, we're not... I'm not speaking that openly.
If I cooked for someone and someone said that to me, and
like, get the fuck out.
Yeah, exactly. Go to fuck McDonald's. Get the fuck out of my house.
Maybe that's why she kicked him out.
Maybe. I didn't even think about that. It is revealed that Mila sleeps with Yara. Personally, I'm not a mom. I don't feel like I can have these opinions yet. Like, I don't want my kids sleeping with me. But what Yara said later on in the episode makes complete sense. You don't want to wake up every 2 hours, walk to another room, breastfeed, and then attempt to put the kid back in the bed. It does sound so much easier to, like, breastfeed, have the kid next to you. The kid's super comfortable. The kid goes right back to sleep. So I can definitely see how that's very tempting, but I want my own space. I say that I might be super attached to my kid. I might love that. So I say that as a non-parent. So they co-sleep.
So they're Joby not, hates so it. They're not poking.
They're probably not poking. Yeah, how does that work? Like, if you would she just like carefully lay the kid down in her
they're
crib?
Probably poking when the kid's sleeping midday or something.
Yeah, that works though. Hey, as long as that relationship's still there, I mean, make it work. That's fine.
Nighttime fun is not going down.
She got a new couch. Hopefully they christened it. It's great. I love when she tells Gwen, "You're worried I serve your son or no?" That's a weird question. Also, I agree. Don't ask me about my sex life with your son. That's weird as hell.
Some people are, you know, they're that close to their, you know, parents, and
no,
ever. Don't ever ask me. Pretend I've never had sex in my whole damn life.
Oh my god, yeah. When I, if I,
if I have a child, just be like, I don't know how it was made.
Yeah, don't exactly. If so, no. If I decide to have a child, I'm not even gonna admit I had sex to have this child. It miraculously happened.
It's like, don't picture.
Exactly. Don't. No. So it is 6 p.m. Everyone took 2 hours to get there. They got there at 4.
That's
they have hung out for 2 hours.
As far as shit to drive.
Exactly. It is now 6 p.m. It is Mila's bedtime, and Yara would like everyone to leave. Everyone took this really poorly. Everyone said it was like rude. They couldn't believe that she had to leave. At one point, Gwen turned to Joby and says, "Are you kicking us out, Joby?" And he's Joby like, said, "No." Nope. And she was like, "Oh, okay. Then that's final word." And I was like, "What the hell?" Yara, the main caretaker of this little girl, is telling you need to leave, you need to leave. If our friend told us, like, we need to leave, I'm not questioning that. I'm not giving them any shit.
But it's not your friend. It'd be like your sibling kicking you out at 6.
Oh, I wouldn't even. That's fine. My sibling kicking me out at 6. I'm very easygoing.
I know they could, you know, it's their home for sure.
Granted, I live down the street from my sibling.
Joby's mom said they invited the family over.
Yeah. But the family doesn't dictate the whole night.
But it's almost like they want to hang out with you in more than just 2 hours.
Yeah. That's,
2 hours is nothing. Also, I'm calling bullshit. They mentioned that even if the baby's on a schedule, you know, Joey's like, "I want to hang out with you more." She's like, "What do you want to hang out more? We put the kid to sleep and we were hanging out until midnight."
Yeah.
They're hanging out until midnight. I mean, couldn't you tell the family to just keep quiet, drink some wine, relax, eat some crackers, whatever? They're doing it. They're going to stay up till midnight and hang out anyways.
I'm wondering if, like, Joby could have stayed entertained and they could have had, like, some beer or wine. And then if Yara could lay down with Mila until she just, like, drifts off and then got up and, like, hung out still. But I don't know if that's
also
how it works.
I get the whole nursing, the baby's crying, putting back to bed.
Hard.
But, again, she said the baby's sleeping. We hung out till midnight. The baby must have been sleeping for hours by herself. Why? why does she have to sleep with you still if the baby's already sleeping alone for like 4 hours?
I don't know, but it's the perfect trump card to get people to like get out of your house. My kid, you sleep. Get out.
My kid, fuck out of here.
I would never argue it, but
no, I wouldn't either.
I think it's a Southern thing that they find it so rude.
Well, probably.
I mean, it is rude if you took 2 hours.
Hospitality, but you know, you know, everywhere you feed people, yeah, you give them drinks, exactly, you let them be comfortable, you invite them to your home.
Yeah.
Yeah, kicking people out is.
I want to know what Maddie.
It's pretty rare. I don't know if I've ever been kicked out of someone's home.
No, I've left.
Or asked to leave at a certain time.
I've never been asked, but
Ellie and I, we don't have kids, so we're usually really loud people. Like, just even in naturally. Even in conversation.
Yeah.
So I went to a friend's house, and they put their child down, and I was speaking really loud, and they were like, hey, you know, can you quiet down?
They're or, like I was cackling.
The baby's sleeping, like, you know, just the wall over, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm just used to being loud.
And we exited shortly after, just because we're not used to it. And you could tell they really wanted their kid to sleep, so it's fine. See, and that's why I would never be like, no, we are staying. That's right. Weird.
I guess I wouldn't feel like I deserve more time.
Agreed.
But it's just odd to be asked to
leave. Also, if Claire is this child's godmother, she must be very close to Yara.
Mm-hmm.
So why is this dinner the end all? Jovi and Yara later on in the episode go look at cribs together, and he suggests they go on a trip together kind of to get away from their current life, kind of have a glimpse of their old life back.
Here's my thoughts.
Yeah.
This dude was already gone for like 3 months.
Yeah.
And he's like, you trying to bounce real quick?
Yeah, let's go have fun. So,
oh my God, Jovi. Oh my God, Yara's clapback was like, this is life.
This is our life now.
My life forever.
Yeah. And he's like, I want old fun Yara back. And she's like, oh, you don't think I'm fun? And then just leaves the crib store, the baby store.
Oh, and what was they were saying they weren't planning to have a kid. I'm like, Jovi, weren't you the one that says he doesn't like to wear protection?
Yeah. He keeps saying like, this isn't the marriage I pictured. This isn't the life I pictured. But I mean, it doesn't matter. This is your life. Like, this is it. You're married. You have a kid. And he's a good dad. He's always holding her and taking care of her. He's a good dad. And I get that he wants like a glimpse of his old life back, especially, you know, moving out to the suburbs. But I think he also needs to realize that also,
you have to close a couple doors.
Yeah,
you
know, or just
some could remain open, but you gotta
settle down, a little bit. You can still have trips, but the baby's pretty new to this earth, so I personally do not think that Yara is being a crazy mom, do you?
No, I mean, first child, I'm sure it's just totally,
and it's just her and Myla. She doesn't have Jovi.
She probably talks to her kid as the only person besides maybe some family back
Mrs.
home.
Mrs. Gwen sometimes.
To, right? Like, she's spending a lot of new moms, a lot of time with this child. I mean, she's going to be very, very close.
Yeah.
Very
she
protective.
Wants to protect her. Yeah. So I don't think she's being a crazy mom. I think a lot of parents absolutely adore their children and want them around forever. So I think that's fine. If my parents had their way, I would also be living in a home in their backyard. Like, really. You know it's true. So I think
if there's people out there calling these folks bad parents, fuck you. Like, that's rude.
Yeah, I think she's fine.
They're trying. They're new parents. Leave them alone.
Moving on to Tiffany and Ronald. Ronald is sleeping on an air mattress in the living room, and
this couple is a clusterfuck.
They totally are. And I know Ronald's like a piece of shit. Like, I agree, but Tiffany's being an asshole too, and they need to end it.
Their story is interesting because there's so many little points on each that you can like, oh, I can agree with that, and they're like, I can't agree with that. Like, Ronald, it seems like he wants to try and be everything for his family, but then he also fucks up
a lot.
These little moments where he's just, you know, like the grocery store, mm-hmm, and you finish the room like the day of, and like,
yeah,
it's not
I
even
talked
finished.
About this on the last episode. I think he has a very addictive personality. Do you notice when he does something, he goes all in and everything is in excess? So the groceries, we're going to buy this entire store. The Christmas tree, we're getting the most expensive Christmas tree. Just everything has to be in excess. Nothing can be in moderation. I think he has a very addictive personality.
I could see that.
The gambling, I mean, all in. The alcohol, all in.
Do you want
to? So Ronald is on an air mattress in the living room. He slept away from Tiffany because he left her at the restaurant in the last episode. So I assume she got a ride home from production or something. I think Ronald is always concerned with how he looks. He does not want to look like a fool.
Right. He wants to look like the man of the family. I've got my
shit
together.
That is a huge part of it, is he has to be the man of the house. He said he's in a very solid relationship. Like water.
Mm.
He says that showing emotion is weakness. And he's going to try. And I think that's a lot of men think that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I think it's super... I think it's the machismo is just ingrained into men from the moment they're born. I think you're told, oh, toughen up. Don't cry. Don't play with that girly thing. Don't, you know...
Boys will be boys.
Yeah. It's just ingrained, and it sucks because it's emotion and it's feelings, and men should be able to feel those things. I love buying men flowers, by the way.
Hey, and you know, now we're, you know, mental health is huge.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. You know, and why do men have to be strong? Why do they have to? Just because of they have a penis. Like, why? They can show emotion just like everyone else.
Man, it's...
I hate the
culture, race. It's... There's so many things.
Yeah, history, absolutely. Religion. Yeah, I mean, it goes on and on. Tiffany actually says that she feels stuck there, which is super concerning.
It really just means I'm trying to get the fuck out of South Africa.
I mean, she's honestly made it very clear she's trying to get the fuck out of there. She basically told Ronald's mom straight up, like, I want to go home. Ronald says that Tiffany does not appreciate what he's done. And Tiffany shoots back, you aren't doing much to make me happy. That is not the correct response from Tiffany. I think that she could have gave a little bit into this and... I don't even know if an apology is the correct thing, but maybe acknowledge what he has done correct or what he has tried to do. Good that he's tried to do.
I don't think she can without sort of bringing him down. Because
she only brings him down.
She mentions certain things he's done that she's happy he's trying, but she'll pretty much always... It'll never end in like a full compliment. She'll always somehow bring him down.
Exactly. Nothing can be, hey, thanks for doing that. Or you did that super good. I really appreciate that. It's... Cool, you're doing that, but you should be doing this, this, and this.
Or she's like, you're doing that? Yeah, I have to do everything myself. Like this.
She said that as well.
Yeah, there's never...
She said, I do everything. I do all of this at home. You know, you should be able to do this. And it's not fair.
Yeah, she's always going to... And, you know, even... Again, it's like, maybe you're both unhealthy for each other, but it's... Probably doesn't feel good for Ronald either. He's like, man, I'm really trying, but she keeps calling me out that I'm fucking up.
Yeah,
like,
and just, does that make you want to try much more?
Yeah, it's probably not good for him either.
Yeah, I think the expectations are just so not okay.
I think what it is...
Granted, he should have been a better dad
I think
anyway.
She had an opinion of what it was going to be like there.
And or how it should be.
And unless... she was blown away, it's going to be a negative experience.
Oh, absolutely. Unless everything was absolutely perfect, she wants none of it. It's all or nothing.
Unless it was perfect, Ronald has his shit together, making a lot of money, supporting the family.
Exactly.
Good home.
He's like, taking care of the kids all on his own.
And taking care of the kids all on his own. Like, unless it was absolutely perfect, it would just instantly be, nope, this is shit and we're going back. Like, this isn't acceptable.
Absolutely. It had to be perfect or she doesn't give a shit. And I hate that.
So you're making Ronald compete against perfection, which means he's going
to
lose.
Even though, exactly. Tiffany doesn't want Ronald to ask what he needs to do, but just know. Completely unfair expectation. I think in any relationship, like, you have to let the person know what you need and what you want. And I understand she feels that she's already done that, but...
He's like, let me just go ahead and read. He's like, let me just read your mind.
Yeah, I'll the day-to-day, he has no idea how to... help raise these children or prepare meals for them. I mean, he only has to give a shit about himself on the regular.
You mentioned to me that he wants to be the man of the household. Mm-hmm. And I think she wants him to be that, but she won't let him be that.
Yes. So I'm super torn on what her opinion is of their roles. So in the first episode where she got to South Africa, she says, my man built this room. You know, he's a manly man. American men wouldn't be able to do this. But then, like, fast forward to the episodes now, and she wants him to be a provider and, you know, man of the man. But then she says, like, that's not how it is in America. And, you know, you need to take care of the kids. And I just don't know what her expectation is for his role within their family. And he says, I feel out of place.
It's because... this is something he's never had to deal with.
Exactly. And I don't think it's fair that she is just you should know. Mm-hmm. I said, you got to help him figure it out. I mean, Ronald's an asshole. He's not a good guy, but what Tiffany doing is not right either. Ronald says his opinion is higher than hers because he's a man.
Man, see, it's so many things.
Women are made of the rib of the man, not the spine.
I mean, so many things are like, oh, I can agree with this, like that person.
And exactly. Then he says that. And I'm like, fuck, you were making some good points. Yeah. And now look at you.
Oh, boy. It's like, Ronald, man, you did not marry a South African lady. I don't know if that's your culture, man, but it is not going
to
fly.
I know. There has to be some compromise here from both of them, especially him and what he's going to do and his views of being higher than Tiffany. And then Tiffany needs to give in on, she needs to teach him, or she needs to at least tell him. She says, I don't want to have to ask you for help again. So he should just read her mind and the children's mind and just make everything better.
Her approach right there was so direct and not you're below me, but
I mean, she wants to be head of the household. It sure seems
like he wants to be that. Yeah. Role.
So they're both just,
but the way she just talked to him, it was like, you are the commander of this family. Like
later on in the episode, he wants to kind of impress Tiffany with his, I don't know, go-getter attitude, whatever. He takes her to a used car lot. Why is used car lots the time to spring big life moments on people in front of a car salesman?
Oh my god.
This is the second episode in a row we've
or
seen this.
The henna tattoo artist.
Oh, that poor woman.
Why do we have to do this when innocent people...
Just doing their job.
For the public, can we please not air our personal shit when there's a nice person who's innocent?
Just trying to help.
Just doing their job. Can we fucking take it in a little private space?
He says, I want to start my own business. Hopefully have him in the States in, what was it, 3 months?
It's, again, he's trying to make something happen. Yeah. Trying to do something to say,
but
I
again,
can provide.
But again, it's this grand, complete... end of the spectrum thing. When
I was curious, I was like, okay, you want to buy they call it a cabbie?
Sure, a truck, a little pickup truck.
Anyway, a pickup truck. I was thinking in my head, I'm like, is he going to sell his bike? How's he going
to... Yeah, why didn't he just sell the bike?
How are you going to afford a truck? Or here's another thing. Why did you, like Tiffany said, spend all this money on a bike? Maybe if you had a sedan or a truck. And anyway, that's beside the point. But... I'm thinking, okay, you want to start a business. You didn't have enough money for groceries. I'm guessing you don't have enough money to buy a truck. Are you going to sell your bike? Tiffany was right. You have to buy all these tools if you're going to start this business, which led me to believe, are you going to ask Tiffany to buy you a truck? That shit was
He could not pay for groceries. So
then you want to be seen as the head of the household, the man... But now you're about to ask your wife maybe to buy you
maybe.
A truck?
Maybe. Yeah, they didn't say.
They didn't go that way.
They didn't go that far.
Oh my god. And then I did agree with her. I'm like, why are you starting this business if the plan is to bring you to America?
Yeah, why can't
I think Ronald really either doesn't want to come to the States because he keeps trying to convince her to stay. Yeah. So I really think he just doesn't want to come here. He's scared because he's not gonna be able to be
the manly man or the head of the household or, have final say or have his word mean more than Tiffany's. I don't know. I think he's scared to come.
I mean, honestly, that sequence of events almost seemed like he said it was his backup plan, but it's almost like your backup plan in case the thing with Tiffany doesn't work out.
That, and also he says, if I get my visa denied, they'll just come here. They've made it very clear they're not coming here. So you either get the visa or you're done.
One thing that he's probably scared of, or so many couples that we've seen on the show, I don't know if this is a product of being on the show, but we have seen a lot of the international side of the relationship. They don't have a easy time finding work.
No. I mean, Julia
doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Well, also a lot of it has to do with you can't work for the first however many months.
Well, right. But some of these people have been around for a while. Mm-hmm. Annie, I don't know if that's by decision. I don't know if Annie works, for example.
I'm not sure.
Her name escapes me. Natalie mm-hmm. will only work if it's the perfect thing that for somehow is going to land on her lap.
Yeah, only in television. No translation.
A lot of these folks, it's not just, I'm going to come here and make a ton of money. It's hard.
Yeah.
You have to either start from zero.
And the person has to support you, your spouse.
Yeah, fully. So it's not just... I mean, or maybe you make a decent amount of money from the show and you're just like, what am I going to work? Andre doesn't officially work.
But look at Zied. Like, he was going crazy in that apartment. Like, he was so bored. He couldn't work.
He doesn't really work do still, anything. Right? I don't know if he works. Like, it's not easy.
Yeah.
Some folks, I don't, you know, either their skills aren't transferring to where they live now. Like, maybe... Julia, you were doing like this dancing, mm-hmm. which is awesome there, but maybe where you live right now, like that's not really hot.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's going to be hard for you to find a job, or maybe you just had some skills that didn't translate. You know,
I'm not sure what
it's going to take you
what
a while.
What would Ronald do here? You could be a handyman, maybe.
But even then, like you're going to, because your official first employer here, you're going to start from, you know, handyman beginner pay.
Yeah, not, which is fine.
I don't know. Is it? To support a family?
I mean, I think it's better than nothing. There's pretty much nothing happening now.
That's true. That's true.
But would what it I'm be enough for Tiffany?
What I'm trying to say is even when you get here, it's going to be a long journey just to get to a place probably where you feel like you can support your family.
Yeah.
It's going to take you some time.
Tiffany tells Ronald that she went to a divorce lawyer and he is pissed. Kind of later on in the episode, a quote from her, "Meet my expectations or be a divorced man." That's going to help grow your relationship. Threats are beautiful. The constant threat of leaving and then the constant threat of divorcing him and telling him he's not a provider and not a good dad is
I can great. See some side she's coming from and asking her dad to, you know, sponsor Ronald.
Yeah. Oh, God. Just
and basically,
don't. Yeah, don't
if
go
she,
through with that.
You know, if he were to come here and, you know, fuck up somehow, like, that would just not be good. And her relationship with her dad was already shaky, so...
Yeah. It's only, recently been okay.
Yeah, and that's a big ass.
It just shouldn't happen. Andre and Libby. The family Libby is going to a winery for their grandpa's birthday.
Oh my God, they took that whole RV.
Why did they take the fucking RV? Did you notice how overdressed everyone was compared to everyone else at the party?
They're Hollywood. They're showing up with cameras.
I guess. I don't get it. Everyone was wearing, jeans and, polos and just hanging out in regular kind of, business casual clothes.
They're big city Florida people. They're, you know, tropical sunsets and they're on vacation.
They have the shittiest crimping job ever of their hair. Becky is a piece of shit. She knew she was not supposed to tell Andre. That smirk was bullshit.
This is why I can't believe anything that happens in their scenes because it almost just seems like...
Because they want that spinoff.
Either they're like, let's fuck with Andre. You know, you're going to get a babysitter and then we'll mention it and you won't tell him and then he's going to blow up at the family reunion. It's too corny.
Also...
Who just meets someone and says, do you have help? Like, that has a kid.
It was very set up. It was very set up.
Who fucking says that? Like, oh, you're a new parent. Do you have help? Like...
How do you do it?
That's not what I fucking ask a parent. I'm like, wow, you know, your kid's so beautiful. Like, you know, are their poops okay, I guess? Like, you know, you must be...
We do talk about poops with our friends.
How are they sleeping? Do you get enough sleep? Do you have help? Like, nobody fucking asks that. That's so stupid.
Yeah, I know. I've never actually asked someone, do you have a babysitter? How are your date nights?
That was corny. No. Nobody asked that.
I would be
pissed.
He's
like, Libby, how's your babysitter doing? He's like, what? It was so dumb.
If you went behind my back and made a decision that affects our family without telling me, I'd be so pissed. Can you imagine
then,
your
But then
partner?
The family's like, oh my God, why is he having a blow up for a babysitter? I'm like, it's about his fucking kid.
Yeah.
And he was not a part of the decision for his kid.
Just because you had a conversation and he said no doesn't mean you do it behind his back. It means talk about it more. Maybe you can come to a solution, a conclusion. Maybe... You could have told him days and times, and that would make him feel better that it was only, 4 or 5 hours throughout the day, a few times a week, versus maybe he had a different impression of what a babysitter was going to be.
Doesn't one of the sisters question Andre's, not parenting?
Yes! Oh my God, thank you. Okay, so I can't remember who said it. It was either Jen or Becky, who cares, says, you don't have any motherly instincts. He is way more caring and honestly, in my opinion, a better parent than Libby. Also, the daughter is always struggling with Libby, but is always wanting to be with Andre and would rather be held by him.
That could be a psychological thing too. kind of like,
why
boys are,
I know, I feel like kids period want to be around their mothers. How can you say he has no,
I'm totally on your side. I think, I'm sure he's a great dad. I'm sure he's,
kid loves being around him,
you know.
He basically raised her every day for however long.
God, I fucking hate this family, dude. They're so fucking weird.
They're super fake. They're stirring up shit just to stir up shit. Libby's outside. After Andre finds out, Libby kind of storms out. Andre follows her. Oh my God, they're arguing outside.
Libby's faces are fucking golden.
They're so good. Okay, I'm going to post some of these on our Twitter. So go look out for that because they're going to be gems. I fucking hate her face. Andre says they're fucking snakes, and he's totally right. I can't remember if this is Becky or Jen, because I was so annoyed I didn't even write down who said this, but she says, you're so outdated and out of touch. You know, you have no motherly instincts. Basically just insulting him and his parenting and things like that. But how is he out of touch? He took care of his kid very well.
Right, not the traditional role.
Not the traditional role. How can you say he's outdated when he's pushing kind of this new role of a stay-at-home dad? There's nothing wrong with stay-at-home dads.
Also, you can't just call someone outdated to just make your point be heard.
What does that even mean? You're outdated. Like, you like to take care of your kid. Like, what? Okay.
Oh, well, your fucking hair's outdated. What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, hell yeah. Looks like shit. She says, Libby says, this is mortifying. But, like, all of you show your buttholes, so... I don't care.
Oh my God.
And of course, everything is Andre's fault and not Libby's for going behind his back and making a decision without him.
I feel like these people fail to realize that Chuck is their boss.
Yes. Thank you. He should threaten to fire all of them. His business.
You know, it's a family business, but your dad's the CEO. He's the head honcho. He could fucking fire all of you.
Yeah, as he should. Also, Thomas is a little bitch.
If he wants...
We can get into that later.
Oh my fucking God.
If you want. But yeah. So Thomas, Chuck, and Andre are upstairs playing foosball, kind of away from everyone. Chuck is telling Andre that they're going to partner up on this latest house. They're going to split profits. Fucking Thomas runs downstairs, tells his wife, and then here they come running up the stairs.
Here's, 45-year-old Thomas. Guess what I heard, guys?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
This is a conversation to have... back at your hotel room, maybe when the trip's done, or, private with your wife. If you bring it up.
It's for the cameras.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, you're a piece of shit for doing that.
Oh, yeah. You knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm just going to tell her she'll be fine with it.
You know, I praised Thomas last episode. No, fuck him. Back on the shit list with the rest of the family.
Again, I think from what Chuck is saying, he probably thinks, hey, I need to partner with Andre. Since he wouldn't directly provide him a loan.
Yeah.
He'll more of, partner me with this home. I'll teach you all the phases of the business. You'll probably learn a lot. The whole splitting the profits is kind of weird because Andre's really not providing any money up front. No, to actually
he's learning, so that is weird.
So that was weird. I think Jen mentioned that. Like, why are you splitting the profits if he's like the mentoree?
Well, guess what? It's his business.
Or the being mentored. Yeah. Usually the learning is the benefit, the education. You usually don't get like a bunch of money.
Exactly. Just well. For... being so that present.
I feel you on that. But hey, if Chuck feels like this is my son-in-law, this is like a way I could help him and help my daughter.
Yeah. Like, help my granddaughter.
Right. Yeah. And that they also, it's almost like they don't make those connections that if Andre benefits, it's going to benefit their niece and their sister.
And I think
they don't give a shit. No. They like want to bring him down.
No. And they don't, I think they don't give a shit about Libby either.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure they have some deep family wounds.
I mean, we talked about that before.
They make fun of
Libby
all the time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's...
they've always ganged up on Libby, I feel like. So Jen throws the foosball at Andre and later says in her interview, he's telling my dad not to believe me. About what? What is he supposed to believe that he's not believing? I don't get it. Also, why is Jen throwing anything? Like, you're an adult woman. Keep your hands to yourself. Do not hit people. Do not throw things.
I should have spilled a drink on her.
I know.
Because then I would love to see her husband try to stand up to Andre. Andre beat that ass.
Yes. Andre beat everyone's ass. Beat everyone's husband's ass.
You're like, your wife threw a foosball at me, so I spilled my drink on her.
Yeah, fair game.
And now we have to fight. Yeah. Let's go.
Exactly. You want to be that petty and go tit for tat? Like, yeah, do it. I say it every week. Same fight, new location.
Yeah.
The winery, back at Grandpa's house, the attic. Like, it's just stupid.
Oh, for a while, I was I was mentioning it while we were watching. It feels like they've been driving for like 4 episodes.
Yes. When we saw them in the RV, I was like, where the fuck are they going? They just got to Grandpa's house. And I still just didn't get why they took the RV. Asuelu and Kalani. Asuelu has to prove himself to have another child. So he is taking care of the kids today and letting Kalani kind of do whatever she wants, hang out, finally get some her time away from the children, which is great. He is playing with the kids, watching the kids, cooking dinner, and he says it's easy, but he's doing it one day. Like, this isn't the demand of every day. I feel like
a lot of men have been caught saying that.
Oh my God, I'm sure.
This is so easy. Why are you bitching about this? It's like,
do it every day. Yeah. Have the kids want you all the time, you know? Ugh. Asuelu let Kalani and her mom know that Tammy and his mom will be coming to town.
I think we've seen in past preview that's going to be a shit show.
Yeah, exactly. We saw them.
How do they not see this coming?
Well, I mean, Kalani and her family do see it coming.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, they do. They already talk about it and, you know, they already know what to expect and they're fully aware. It's not something like they're like, oh, we hope we can get along. They're just like, it's going to be a shit show.
Would you let them come to your Christmas?
God, that's so hard because, like, it's your husband's family, so you have to give them more leeway than a friend or a stranger. Do you have to? You probably don't have to. I'm being too generous there.
I mean, you know, if like... Okay, if my sister tried to fight you, would you openly invite her over for Christmas?
No, but you would. You would, and then I would have to bite my tongue. Yeah. Okay, so why are they dressed in... like holiday PJs to get the tree. So when I saw them all in the car in their holiday PJs, I was like, how cute. They're going to go to the mall to get a photo with Santa and everyone's right. going to be in super cute PJs.
Well, I was wondering, I was like, why are they?
Yeah, you asked me and I was like, they're going to go get pictures with Santa. And that's not like they just went to go get a tree at like a store. And
I think then I asked you, is that normal? Do you wear the?
I know. I was like, I don't think so.
Do you
so.
Wear the PJs you'll wear for opening the gift
Christmas have this morning day? The spirit of Christmas is in them.
Or... I was like, why are you wearing PJs to go get a
tree? I didn't get it. And Lo was like in work clothes. It is, yeah, well, Lo's life.
And the mom was in normal clothes. Yeah. I was like, why are you in PJs?
I don't get it. But
like, are you trying to give your kids the experience that when you go by a tree, you have to be in PJs? They're going to be like, what?
Is this a tradition? Maybe no, me and you just don't know
like,
about it.
They're going to be like, mom, dad, nobody else does that but us.
Asuelu lets everyone know that his family will be coming over, and Lo had a great kind of 2 cents to add. He said, a lot of people talk a lot of things on video, but it's much different when you're arm lengths away. And that's completely true. I mean, think of like keyboard warriors and people.
Hand lengths away.
Yeah. So that's very true, but it looks like Tammy and the mom don't get it.
But it's still bad because those things were said.
Yeah, they were said.
You know.
And your family and the, you know.
If you meet the video game troll in person, you still think they're a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah.
You're not absolutely, like, that doesn't you're not change like, anything. Oh, you just said that in the video game. We're cool. You know.
But like, the other person shit. Will think like, oh, we're cool. That was just.
No.
I didn't say it to your face. I don't know. Basically, it's just this. Their entire segment was just prepping for Christmas and then the setup for what we all know is going to happen because we saw it in a preview, the fight that ends up happening. It seems like a verbal fight. Ah, the couple that I think annoys me the most, Mike and Natalie. Mike is working out with tractor tires. He has leggings on and shorts and a hoodie and a sweatband. He is... flipping tractor tires. I don't know. That's his workout. Those are really heavy. So
this
good
is,
for
this
him.
Is a great example of a couple that's just together because of the show. They have no love.
Just because of the show. And I think, honestly, this is one of the people that I didn't think so initially. But I think, honestly, Natalie just wanted a green card.
Wow.
They were doing so horrible before she even got... like, they were on the verge of breaking up. They were essentially already broken up. And then they got the call saying, hey, you got your visa. And then she's like, yeah, I'm coming over.
Yeah.
Like, that was not necessary.
It's just watching the downfall. They just keep,
it's been like, downfalling it's like, since yeah, right. their it's, original
it's
season.
It's just one thing after another. Now it's the whole surgery thing, and she left him high and dry.
So Natalie talks about, do you remember in her original episode with Mike, how she was like, oh, my ex is so sport, you know, sporty and fit, and I want, you know, working out is a big part of my life. That was the most awkward stretching and working out I've ever seen. How is she not torn something? She's just like doing things super weird and her. She makes me uncomfortable just watching her interact with like humans.
Oh my gosh. You showed me a Reddit post of Natalie's changes.
Oh my God.
And even Mike's, they look so different.
They look so young and so fit and so different. Like, their faces are so different. They look so tired and, like, stressed now. Mike finally brings up what happened right before the surgery. He said he didn't want to before because she was recovering and he was just going to take care of her. She says, I was worried we would fight. And she does not think that she did anything wrong. And there was nothing wrong with her concentrating on the surgery.
I don't really buy that.
I don't either.
Because usually when folks are going to have surgery, whatever kind of surgery it is, you know, appendix, gallbladder, knee surgeries, whatever. Especially during COVID times, usually you ask, who can I have with me?
Yeah, if anyone at
and
all.
Like, who can help me in the process? So I just don't buy that wasn't on her mind.
Also, the doctor, she said the doctor was like, don't worry about that. Don't think about anyone or anything. And
she was probably, he was probably thinking from the mindset of, don't worry about bringing anything. Like, you know, things are
like just giving her the pre-op.
We already have like any paperwork we need. You know, we just need you to follow these guidelines and then, you know, show up and then we'll take care of you.
Yeah. I don't think he meant in the sense of, don't tell your husband, just come here. She talks about how Mike always walks away when she tries to talk, but she does the exact same thing. For example, she left the night before her surgery.
No, we've seen that she...
We've seen them both do it.
Well, she spaces out when he's talking to her.
Oh, God. Yeah, those awful fucking just staring off into space. She doesn't even respond.
Yeah, not communicating. Yeah. I'm like, okay, yeah, you sat there, but you were unresponsive.
She's truly one of the worst communicators I've ever seen.
Like, so she can say Mike walks away. I'm like, okay, you don't walk away, but you're basically a zombie.
Seen that too. She has walked away as well. So I think that's, you're just trying to make yourself look better. Oh, look at him. He can't communicate.
Okay, it's like what I'm saying with the other folks. It's like, they don't take that self-assessment.
No, she has no self-awareness.
Yeah. It's like, I'm making fun of this person about something I do myself. That doesn't click for them.
Let me be clear. Mike has done a lot wrong as well, and he's not a good communicator, but holy shit, Natalie takes the cake. She is just like the worst communicator, and she thinks she's perfect, and she will never compromise.
Yeah, I think we saw this early on when she always would say, you know, sort of making herself, you know, like Mike said,
I am so much more beautiful than you. I have high IQ. What's your IQ?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what she's doing now, but... She doesn't really seem to have a good personality.
She does not have a good personality. Like, folks want to hang out with. I mean,
yeah.
She's just, I don't get it.
I'm curious to see how their ending will be.
I mean, it's gonna end.
How we'll see the end? Like, what?
We better get to see it. We've had to go through all this shit. Right, we better get to see it.
I'm excited to see, like, what is the end? How does it look like?
How does it actually happen? Like, what's the last straw? Because it's just been downfalling for 2 seasons now. Mm. That's over a year of just watching this train wreck. Mm-hmm. What's the final straw and who has the final straw? I don't know. Do I even care? I don't know. Same fight. No communication. Whatever. Also, they got a dog. Did you see that?
I did not.
So I assume they got a dog to try to save their marriage, which is awful because then this poor dog is just going to be neglected. Awful. I only feel bad for the dog, not them.
So is a warning, don't get dogs to save your marriage.
Don't get anything living to try to save your marriage. Don't have a kid to try to save your marriage.
Don't be killing plants either.
Yeah, exactly. So that is it for the episode. But the next time on, Brandon and Julia are packing at the farm. And Brandon is not actually excited to leave. Julia is ready. She's looking forward to kind of this next chapter in their life.
He's going to miss his... He's like, man, I'm growing up.
Not only that, because I do think he's like a mama's boy, but I think he realizes that like everything's on him.
Yeah.
Everything's on him now. He is the sole provider.
It's time to grow up.
How are they going to divide chores? Are they going to divide chores? What it truly is his role? Because his parents really took care of everything. What's her role? What's his role?
How fast is she going to find work to split the bills? Did she already
find
work? Is
that even going to be a thing? I mean,
she was mentioning, I'll pay for half of this if we're moving into this bougie-ass apartment. He's like, we're not moving anywhere. We don't need 3 bedrooms. Calm down.
Why don't we have an update on her job at gym club? Did she get it?
Probably not.
Maybe she did, though.
Maybe she did.
Michael and his wife, we kind of talked about this a little bit. Peter suggested him go to the fertility clinic to get his sperm tested. Michael's wife says she needs to be on the phone when he masturbates to provide a sample, which is disgusting. And I still can't believe that she doesn't think he, you know, has his own sexuality, but whatever. Jovi and Yara are in Miami on vacation, and Yara is worried about Mila. This bugs Jovi, but I mean, just taking her out of the city doesn't mean that she doesn't have these worries. And
if anything, more because you're so far away.
Because you're away and you don't know how it's going. Right. Asuelu and Kalani. Asuelu goes to pick up Tammy and his mom, and Tammy is already on the defense, ready to just fight someone immediately. Just cannot be chill.
It's going to be bad.
Libby and Andre. Chuck tells Becky and Jen that he is going to help Andre and Libby the same way that he has helped them. Mm. Which makes complete sense to me. Mm. Why shouldn't he even? Everyone talks about, oh, you paid for this Moldovan wedding. You probably paid for everyone's wedding, to be honest.
I cannot imagine how much Andre hates his family.
Oh God, I know. He's just constantly dealing with this shit.
It's kind of like those moments where, like, as soon as you see someone, like, your heartbeat starts to go, like, go faster. I think
that's just like stressed.
Yeah, that's what it was like for Andre.
They just start yelling again, Becky and Jen, and then Jen throws a cake at Andre.
Oh, fuck.
Again, like,
I must have missed this, because what the fuck is his family doing?
If you're throwing things or hitting anyone, you need to be prepared to have that shit done back to you. They want to be family
Chantel so bad.
They do.
So fucking bad.
But River and Pedro was organic and actually happened.
That shit was real.
Yeah, that's none of this dumb bullshit. Yeah, no, that was real.
That was real.
Also, that shit was hot. Why is... Okay, everyone says this is a controversy. Who started the fight? Who threw the first punch? Was it Pedro or was it River? It was all River.
Everyone's wrong in that situation, you know?
Pedro was correct to get up and beat his ass. That's right.
That shit was fucking It was gold. So good. That shit was gold. But all this Libby shit, that's family Libby, no. That's all bullshit.
No.
Ain't no one swinging. Ain't no one doing nothing.
Another week we don't see Andre take down Charlie.
Oh, you mean them rubbing each other's nipples and going to the ground?
What? No. He really does take him down, though.
Okay.
Maybe he had a sore back. Good.
Man, no, I didn't see one punch thrown in that scene.
Hey, I didn't say there was a punch, but he did take him down.
We'll see.
Fast, might I add. Mike and Natalie fighting again. Natalie cannot say why she loves Mike or why he is important to her. As he's pissed and storming out, she says, I do love you, but you hurt me a lot. Why are you together? Like, you don't love this dude.
I mean, it's more for the cameras, making yourself look good, trying to save face.
But she looks so bad.
She does, but...
Maybe she really doesn't realize it. There's like really no self-awareness.
I think we've seen it with other cast members. It's almost like when they watch themselves, they're like, wow, I was not really happy with myself.
But right I don't there. Even think she sees that because they showed incidences on the tell-all of the last season she was on. She didn't give a shit.
Yeah, more of the same kind of thing.
Oh my God, I can't wait for this tell-all.
When is that?
We're only on like episode 11 or 12. We got a ways to go. We might be past the half mark, I think. Halfway mark at least, though. So that's it for 90 Day. It felt like a very long episode, but it was fine. I just feel like so many of the episodes right now are just... We're building up to these little previews that they showed.
How many episodes do they have during the seasons?
I have no idea.
No? Yeah, finales are going to be good, though. Yeah,
they're going to squeeze that tell-all out to like 3 weeks. Oh my God. 3 separate episodes.
If you thought the last tell-all was awkward, this one's about to be.
It's going to be so awkward. What are Mark and Natalie going to do? Are they going to sit on separate sides of the stage?
One of them is not even going to be there. Betting right now.
Oh, one that might not be right. Be there. I wonder how they do it for Tiffany and Ronald. Oh, he's probably on webcam. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
So interesting. So other things we've been doing recently... Kind of different books, shows we're watching, things like that. One thing stands out in particular. Yesterday we went and saw Roadrunner, kind of the documentary film life of Anthony Bourdain. We're big fans of his, and so his death definitely hit us hard. And for me personally, I don't think I've watched an episode of any of his previous shows. I haven't enjoyed any of his content, really. I've just been really bummed out and kind of... focused on his death and how kind of his extraordinary life ended. And I felt really bad about that. And I felt really bad for the pain he was going through and feeling as if this was the only way, his only out, the only way he could truly get peace. Last night we went and saw Roadrunner, like I mentioned, and it was a very good film, not only about his life, but his personality and those around him, how they experienced him and his personality. And his different behaviors throughout his life and kind of how he went through those motions of his life. if you are a fan of Anthony Bourdain or even just a fan of maybe his shows or, you know, something he did, I do highly recommend that you go see Roadrunner. For me personally, it almost felt a sense of closure. So like I said, I haven't seen any of his shows since he passed. It's just really sad. It's hard to watch these things because that's kind of all we have now. But seeing how he lived his life and he did live how he wanted, and it makes you appreciate his life for what it was. And, you know, he wasn't perfect. It's clear it was a messy life. It had a lot of ups and downs, but it almost gave me some ability to appreciate who he was and what he did and not mourn the loss, but celebrate the life. How did you feel about Roadrunner?
The film itself, I thought was, you know, excellently done. I enjoyed, you know, pretty much every part of it. For us, we were, you know, huge Bourdain fans. I think he's had a pretty big part in our life, whether it's how we approach travel, how we approach food, how we approach cultures, where we go, you know, where we're existing at that moment in time, you know, respecting people's cultures, even the way we live with how we, you know, not judging people by where they're from, you know, getting to know people. Those are, I think, things that we have learned from Bourdain, you know, during his life and watching his content. So I think, you know, for us, he was a very positive experience in our lives. I knew about his story, you know, of how he came to fame, you know, writing his book, Kitchen Confidential, and working in New York, going up to be a star. But to watch it in film and the way it was done, I felt like, wow, this is a really great, like, who is Bourdain? How he rose to, you know, such heights? Like, why even people gravitated towards him? I would definitely recommend who's in a fan of food culture, a fan of travel, a fan of good documentaries.
Yeah, I think anyone could get into this. Say you're not, you don't know a lot about Anthony Bourdain, but you love documentary type films. I think this is great.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, his closest friends, for the most part, are all on the documentary.
And his wife.
They provide really strong insight into his life, who he was, how he lived, how he touched them. I think I would just close out, if you're struggling in any way, you know, mental health is huge. You know, thankfully it's getting more and more awareness as time goes on. But if you need help, definitely reach out to someone, reach out to your family members, reach out to the, you know, National Suicide Prevention Hotline. Like, someone will be there to help you. Definitely understand that you're not alone.
And don't feel that you're being weak or that it's weakness that you need to reach out and get help. I think we're living in a very difficult time in history. There's illness, there's crazy politics, there's so much happening in the world, and we all have direct access to things at the, you know, through our phones and the internet, and it can be really difficult to handle life and personal life and social media. And I think there's a lot of expectations placed on people these days, and I think it's really hard to cope with all of it at once. So please get help if you need it. Please reach out to someone if you're not comfortable with reaching out to someone you know personally. Reaching out to any kind of hotline or anything like that, I think, is really important. And even if you're not struggling, be aware of those around you. If someone seems like they could use a friend, or maybe they just want to talk, I think it's really important to be available to people and available to just listen. You don't have to know exactly what to say to people. You don't need to have the perfect response, but just to be there, listen, it's important. Thank you all for listening to the podcast. We appreciate you always. We hope you have a good week. Stay safe, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you. Thank you. Bye.